Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. This is a new year, so we move from Mark's gospel to Luke's gospel, and we'll read throughout Luke's gospel in the coming months. As I read these words at this first Sunday Advent, listen for something that's being spoken into your life and your heart as you begin this journey toward Christmas. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Friends, this is a word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. First Sunday of Advent. And it never fails to startle me when I read these verses. To me, it comes across a bit inappropriate. You know, 3 weeks from Saturday, this coming Saturday is Christmas Day. 3 weeks. Right? It seems odd to me that the scripture text, the gospel text for this Sunday is this. You know, where are the shepherds? Where's the star? Where are the angels? Where's the manger? Where's everybody? Shouldn't we be talking about something else? Halloween was last month. This is apocalyptic imagery stuff. Listen to this. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Or be on your guard, so your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. All right. But you know, this shouldn't surprise us by this point. No, if you come to church ever and on Advent, you hear these similar words every single year. Last year, it was Mark trying to kind of brighten our day with these words. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We've already got the Christmas tree lit. We've got all the decorations up for the most part. Wreaths and green. What are we going to do with all this impending doom? Okay, how about this? We just ignore it. We just ignore this text. Ignore Advent week one and move on. You usually, the first Sunday of Advent occurs, as it does this year, on the Sunday following Thanksgiving. Not always. It just depends. But usually it's a Sunday. And that usually means lower attendance. What are y'all doing here? Come on. Stay home. Usually you've eaten so much, can't even log on to a live stream. So usually you say, well, let's just skip Advent week one. Just go right to week two. Get right to the story that we all love. You know, next week, Cantata. Now that's joyous. That's what we love. The glories of Christmas. It's going to be close enough. Anyway, well, unfortunately, we can't do that. This is live stream. The bishop might be watching. I can't just ignore week one of Advent. We can't skip it. So here we are, first week of Advent. Last week was Thanksgiving. Things have changed in here a bit. We've got to deal with all these things. 3 weeks. 3 weeks from Saturday. Unbelievable. But, you know, because of all the changes, we've got a lot changed at our house already. That just can be a little bit unnerving anyway, just having all the ruckus going on at the house. And I was watching the news, and there's panic about the supply chain, and maybe we can't get Christmas trees now, and maybe the what I really wanted we can't find. And so it is a little bit apocalyptic in a way. Maybe this is the end. Maybe this is the end. You know, no PlayStation Omega, whatever it is. So maybe we should talk about this. Maybe we should talk about this for a second. This is the first Sunday of Advent. First day of the liturgical year. First day, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Oh my gosh, come on. Okay. First day of the liturgical year. We call it Advent. 4 week season of Advent. We call it Advent from the Greek word adventus. Something is coming. Something is coming. Something great is coming. Something apocalyptic is coming. Something that will change this world is coming. Now, if you pushed people and you said, describe to me that something that is about to break into this world. Tell me what is coming. Well, more than likely, they would respond by recounting a story. And that story, it would be a paraphrase of an intertwining of the first two chapters of the Gospel of Matthew and the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke. They would tell that story. Or maybe they go right to the Linus passage, which is based on chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel. And a decree went out from Caesar Augustus and all the world to be enrolled, and then they would go on with that. You know, they would locate the meaning of the season, the meaning of what is coming in that story. And they'd be right if they did that, but only partially right. That's part of the story. You know, if you want to really understand the story of what we're celebrating, what we're preparing to celebrate, the essence of it, you need to turn to the fourth gospel. Mark, moving on, Mark doesn't mention any of that. Matthew and Luke tell the story with all the accoutrements. You have to turn to the fourth gospel to begin to get to some deeper meaning. Now, the prologue to the fourth gospel is the first 18 verses of the gospel. And in these 18 verses, the gospel writer, we call John, wrestles with the mystery about what this season's about. Christmas, Advent and Christmas. And the mystery of the incarnation. Let me share this with you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, as we adorn our sanctuary this morning, we prepare to celebrate Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. We need to begin here, not in Bethlehem. No. We need to begin with these words from John's Christmas story. Not with Matthew or Luke. No. They'll get their time. They'll get plenty of airtime over the next few weeks. I'm not worried about that getting out. I'm worried about that. That's all that's going to get out about this celebration. You see, our culture, it's kind of co-opted the story. They've co-opted the story. And so these symbols that we know in our creches and other things are no longer able to carry the deep significance of the season by themselves. John's words act as a corrective for us. They call us back. They call us back to the real meaning of Advent and Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay. This is critical. This is critical, I think, because, as I said when we're prefacing the quiet Christmas service, you know, the season is a giant birthday celebration, you know, for Jesus. It's just a lot of fun and parties and singing and all that sort of stuff. But unfortunately, during this time of year, there are a lot of folks who are suffering. Loneliness abounds. My understanding is calls to suicide prevention lines just go off the charts. People feel isolated and hopeless in this season of Advent. You know, we can't just go with rah, rah, rah. No, 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 no. We need to wrestle with what is underneath this season. What leads to the rah, rah, rah? John says, in order to understand what happened in Bethlehem, you have to go back to the beginning of the story, the very heart of God. In the beginning was the Word, which can be translated the reason, the mind, the logic, the essence, the very depth of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, it is our belief that the very essence of that which holds our lives and this universe together was encountered in the ministry and person of Jesus of Nazareth. It's a mystery that called this group together, this community together, well over 175 years ago, and continues to call us together this morning. That's why we're here. The mystery of what we call Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God is with us. Friends, Advent is a gift to us. These next 4 weeks are a gift that we should receive graciously. It's a marvelous, valuable gift. Advent is a gift of a season during which we are encouraged, or really more than encouraged, we are given permission to seek out what is called the unitive mystery. The unitive mystery. That ineffable realization that every part of our lives is inherently holy because it is infused with sacredness. And this awareness changes everything. Changes it fundamentally. It changes what you say to other folks. It changes how you treat other folks. It changes how you order your life. It changes how you what you teach your children. It changes how you allocate your resources. It changes how you assign value in your life. It changes how you spend your time. Advent. Advent. Advent's a sacred season during which we live in such a way that goodness and holiness and sacredness is made real in and through our life, infleshed in our lives, incarnated. And that makes perfect sense. After all, Advent is a spiritual practice that ultimately ends with the celebration of Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us. Now, I would suspect that most of us in this room today do not live in a world of heightened apocalyptic expectations. You know, it's just not how most of us tend to view reality. Our lives are not structured around the idea of impending interruption of the end times. No, no, no. Maybe they are, but I would suspect no. But maybe there is something to this, this whole idea. Maybe there is an urgency associated with the idea that we need to be transformed, that things need to change. Our lives need to be transformed. They need to be changed. We long for an encounter with life that is of greater depth than our current encounter. Same old practices getting to the same old results. And that's unacceptable. So this Christmas needs to be different. Because we need to be different. And that's what Advent's about. Okay, back to the text today. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly. Now, I know it sounds like a threat. Every single year, it sounds like a threat. But what I like to think about it, it's a promise. All right. 3 weeks. Use them wisely. Thanks be to God. Amen.